has said to me,
"Come on me.
Only then will I be free.
Come on me.
Oh, she was hiding me, and every girl face I see,
come on me.
All right, hey, we are back at it again. Shafe and Doogie in the studio. How you doing, mate?
I'm well. I'm doing well. It's good to be back. Good to be watching some home games back at ATCO Field. Yeah, things have been busy, but they've been good.
Yeah, definitely. Busy month for the Cavs. They spent most of it at home, like we were saying. Six games since we last spoke, and we'll start with the most recent game, Pacific. First goal came real quick for the Cavs just after the fifth minute. Doogie, you had actually left to take an important business meeting. Some sort of call came in just moments before that Cavs goal. Tom Field took the corner. Oh, man. And it found the head of the big man, Dan the Man Clomp.
Yeah, important business meeting. That's my Edmonton family calling me to schedule getting tickets to the Canada game, which we'll talk about later here in the podcast. But what a start. This is how the Cavs wanted to do things. Come out early, get Pacific on their heels, because this is a Pacific team that has given us trouble in the past. And how important was that to get the first goal?
Always battling for first place when it comes to seeing PFC. Tight game with PFC as we battled for that top spot. PFC kind of had some difficulty getting going in this one, having trouble breaking into the Cavs' final third. Cavs were out for blood in this one. A couple of great chances in the 42nd minute. Camargo and Fisk linking up to push PFC back, and Fisk sent a shot just a little high and wide. The boys certainly kept us on the edge of our seats, even though those seats were, you know, pretty cold.
Yeah, Shafe, and what a chance that was. You know, arguably, I think the Cavs absolutely dominated this game. Like, first half completely. Yeah. And, you know, they found themselves going into the second half with that exact same momentum. Joe Mason was back. He found himself with a half chance, pawed away by Callum Irving.
Yeah.
But, you know, the pressure was mounting, and it felt like the walls were going to crack, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Right in that 44th minute, like you were saying, you know, Irving kind of bobbled that chance, and it kind of fell almost perfectly to Mo Farsi. He was sitting in the perfect spot in the slot, but Pacific were able to clear their lines there. Cavs came in with just as much pressure in the second half.
Yeah, Cavs poured and poured on the pressure, and in the 71st minute, David Norman Jr., gets a free kick that was awarded because Joe Mason was pushed off the ball. And, you know, he was making runs, Joe Mason, all game like that. Mo Farsi, they were just piling the pressure on. So it felt like it was going to come. And as David Norman Jr. stepped up for that free kick, it just had a feel to it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When that was perfect placement for that free kick as well. I think you turned to me in the stands and you said, "Think they're going to have this one on net." Seconds before, that is exactly what they did. Now, I don't think they heard you. I don't think you're speaking that loud, but they did exactly what you had pointed out.
Oh, shucks. They might have. I got a pretty loud voice.
Sometimes.
No, what a beautiful shot. Top right corner of the net. I mean, he couldn't have placed it better. It curved kind of in between the wall there, didn't it? Like, he found that perfect spot on the wall, and it just lined up to that perfect spot on the net as well.
First goal of the year for David Norman Jr. So good to see him getting on the score sheet for the Cavs.
Yeah, very well deserved. I mean, he's been kind of an unsung hero in a way for the Cavalry. He's, you know, he's mounted that back line for quite a few games now. He kind of transitioned to a little bit of more of a defensive role, I've noticed. And man, is he good at it, though. He really, really conducts the play back there, and it gives people like Dan Clomp, you know, a little bit more leeway to go forward and things like that. So he does some really, really integral things for this team and, you know, like I said, kind of unsung for it.
Finally rewarded with that first goal of the season and just a perfectly executed free kick. The PFC players were basically cardboard cutouts just sitting in front of him, just like they drew it up on the chalkboard.
Yeah, just like those practice cutouts that they try and shoot around. No, it was wonderful. What a shot. And finally down at the supporters' end, yeah, which is where we sit. So we had a real good view for that, because Cavalry have scored some nice goals up at the other end, and it's just not the same when you can't see the net ripple the same way when you're, you know, down in that end. So
yeah, you have to pull out your phone and to get like the replay off of One Soccer, be like, oh, it was him that touched it and got that in. But
that's true. And we're not very close to the screen either.
No,
so
that tiny, tiny screen. I mean, we have 5 floodlights now. We can't get like a bigger screen on the far end. I mean, come on.
Yeah. It's tough going. So
it's a work in progress. But Cavs are now up 2-0 on enemies PFC. And, you know, they still had a few opportunities. PFC had their chances coming on.
Well, and, you know, Shafe, I really think Cavalry dominated this game arguably up until the 87th, 89th minute. And they kind of let PFC pour on the pressure a bit. And, you know, from doing that, in the 89th minute, they pulled a goal back with a quick finish. And, you know, the Cavs really had to dig deep to keep that lead.
Yeah, I thought we had this one locked up. I thought it was done. I was looking at the clock going, you know, yeah, 85th minute. You know what? I'm going to hit the road. I'm going to beat the traffic, head out and hop in the Jeep and, you know, take off. And I was like, they're not coming back. This is all done. I'm just... That's it. I thought it was going to be 2-0, and I got back to my place and found out the real score, that as soon as I had left, PFC pulled that one back.
Yeah, and it was a nice finish. You know, you asked me, was it a nice goal?
Yeah,
it was. It was a nice goal. Probably shouldn't have let them get that, though, is the thing. Against some of these teams, we're going to really have to dig deep, and especially this time in the season. I mean, we only have 3 games left.
Yeah, I saw the replay, and Marco Carducci was obviously very frustrated. He booted the goalpost in frustration, yelling at his defensemen that just... It was sloppy. They should have been there to clear the line.
Yeah, and no mistake by the Pacific player, you know. He smashed it into the top net, and... we had a nervy, I guess, 4 minutes with the extra time included or whatever it was. Yeah. And yeah, I stuck around and watched, and
yeah,
they were sending crosses in. So it was, they really had to dig deep, but you know, they preserved that win and won a invaluable 3 points that brought them to the top of the league temporarily.
Yeah, and with that win over PFC, Cavs have now clinched their spot in the playoffs. I mean, we're still jockeying for a top spot with PFC, but currently we're 2 points ahead with 44. Forge are in third place with 41. We're all going to be fighting for that home field advantage. York and Wanderers and Valor are all trying to pick up that fourth spot right now. But playoffs are clinched, and that's important. We just need to finish off strong.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, if you're talking finish off strong and you're looking back at our most recent game against Pacific, I arguably would say that might be our best game all season. That could possibly be the most dominant performance that I've seen Cavalry have. And it was against, at the time, the first place team, Pacific.
Yeah, rivals all year long.
We all know, yeah. And I mean, exactly, we don't get much chances. I think we get the one more away chance. We don't get to host Forge.
No, at all this year.
No, so, you know, it's... Yeah, Pacific has very quickly became our kind of unspoken rival, and... we've played them how many times this year?
And in the Canadian Championship as well. So it seems to be Pacific that we're facing, and like jockeying for top spot all the way down to this grind in the last like three games here we have coming up.
Yeah, but like I say, if you look at that, hopefully they can continue with that type of performance, and you know they can build on that that game against Pacific, because I personally think that was one of their most dominant performances all season, and against one of the most dominant teams all season as well. So great job. Keep that up. Move forward with that kind of mentality. Just don't fall asleep in the last couple minutes, I guess.
Yep, so now we're just in the home stretch now. Last three games, but first let's jump back in time, talk about how we got to this spot, and let's look at the first El Clasico. It was all the way back on September 29th. The Cavs were all the way up in Edmonton for this one. Marched up to Edmonton to take those 3 points from the Eddies. I only caught the highlights on this game, but I was glad to see the lads come away with an important win.
Yeah, you know, they marched up there for the 3 points. It wasn't an easy 3 points. You know, they had a quick early lead in roughly, you know, the first 30 minutes or so. They took the lead with a great flick from Sergio Camargo to Nick Ledgerwood. He gets it on goal, and, you know, kind of a grindy, a tough play that Ben Fisk picks out and buries in the net, you know, which I think we've seen more and more of Ben Fisk. I think he is that type of gritty player, and he's going to come in and do those types of things.
Yeah, another one of those unsung heroes kind of that has been in the lineup. You know, I think we were talking earlier in the stands just about, you know, does Ben Fisk really fit into the lineup? You know, sometimes yes, sometimes no, but recently, especially in this last stretch of games, he has really shown his class.
Yeah, and he showed what he's here for. You know, he wins balls for us. He gets balls on net. He digs out those, you know, those dirty balls for a goal. Every goal counts, and yeah, we'll take them. So Cavs take a 1-0 lead, and they continue that. And another guy who's, I guess, been struggling a bit for, you know, playing time, Ahinga Selemani.
Right, yeah.
We've got a tough lineup. We've signed Anthony Novak up front. We want him to go for us. Joe Mason is back.
Sergio Camargo is, like, when he's healthy.
He's always going to want that playing time, and he always wants to be on the pitch. He's that kind of player. So there's a lot of competition in that in that spot, but Ahinga, you know, when he gets the chances, he seems to know where the net is. And in this one, a blind header onto the net, I was showing you, it almost looks like he does like a bicycle kick, I was saying.
Yeah, it was like a half bicycle kick, the back header of his head on the ball. He was watching it the whole way, backpedaling, and just kind of like sprung up to get that one. But you know, whatever you have to do to get your head on the ball and put it in past the keeper, like, I wouldn't have seen that coming in if I were the keeper.
No, not at all. And I mean, great start for him back. And you know, Cavs look, like you said, to be marching to Edmonton for those 3 points and a 2-0 win. But the Eddies stormed back at us.
Yeah, the Eddies were not going to roll over to the Cavs for this one. You know, we come up there looking for those easy 3 points. You know, we faced some teams this month that we should have been able to get 3 points off of, would have expected to, and this was one of the games, but the Eddies were fighting back hard.
Yeah, Easton Ungaro, you know, we left him wide open in our box, and he'll make you pay. He's arguably the Eddies' most potent offensive threat in the air, right? So it's leave him open, it's 2-1. And in the 70th minute, the Eddies draw level with Amir Didic putting another header on net, mucking things up in the box. And, you know, now we're sitting here thinking, is this going to be a draw? Are the Eddies, you know, are the Eddies stealing points? God forbid they have momentum and even get the next goal, too. So 2-2 game, and you know, who comes out of the air for us for another climbing header but Dan Klomp,
the Flying Dutchman, with another one.
I mean, yeah, he has been so important for the Cavalry over this last month, I'd say, really this whole season, but this last month in particular, I mean, he's really showed his prowess offensively. He breaks, you know, he's getting the ability to now play a little more of on the wing, because they're doing a kind of a three center back and then doing, you know, wing backs, right?
Yeah.
And he's one of the right center backs, usually, is what he's been playing. So he gets a little bit more leeway to go up the field and put that offense on, you know, offensive pressure on net. And wow, has he showed his importance, you know, with Joe Mason out.
Yeah.
It's been really, really tough going for goals, and he's got some really important ones for us. And yeah, leave him open at the top of the 6-yard box. That's, you know, that's game. 3-2 Cavalry.
And that was one of the few wins for the Cavs this month. We did have to settle for two other draws earlier in the month. We faced Valor earlier on, and Marco had a few big saves early on. But other than that, it was kind of not really the boys' best performance.
Valor game was a tough game, and we're coming in into this game against a struggling Valor side.
Yeah.
You know, this Valor side saw two draws and three losses in their previous five games before this matchup. So, you know, this is something we're really, really looking to try and get a win on. And coming in, you know, into this against a team like that, they looked sluggish.
Yeah, I was really expecting a lot more from the boys. Like you're saying, Valor has not been really doing all that well, you know. New coach, yeah, they're really trying to rebuild again. They started off strong in the year, but they are now fighting, hopefully, maybe for that fourth playoff spot. And when we face off against Valor, I was thinking, okay, again, this should be 3 points for the boys.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, maybe Jonathan Sirawa was standing on his head a bit when they were at home. And that too, you know, they were playing a bubble in...
Exactly.
In Winnipeg, you know, he has all the momentum going for him and he's making all these great game-saving saves, then yeah, but...
Can't last forever.
They can't, no. Oh, they can't do it forever, exactly. No. That's, it's been a really, really tough go for the Cavs, and like I said, I think they kind of look sluggish, and to tell the truth, Marco Carducci is one of those keepers that does that.
Gets very few games off. He's always on, really. So, I mean, sometimes we rely on him way too much.
And he's always bailing us out.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, they had two great chances in the first 7 minutes of play. One of them, they had a penalty call. They were, you know, Marco came out and the ball got moved and the defender found himself in between Marco's legs. And Marco covered up the ball, loose ball. You know, close call. I think the call was right. I think Marco was playing the ball the whole time. Defender kind of lost it, and then he went over a little easy. But you could get that called on you in another day by another referee. And, you know, next thing you know, it's 1-0, or Marco doesn't make the breakaway save he makes just before that, and it's 2-0 against a team like Valor.
Yeah.
They didn't look their usual selves. They were quite sluggish is really the word I had for the game.
Yeah, no, completely agree. So, yeah, 0-0 draw on that one, and another draw earlier in the month when we were up in Edmonton, yet again, Cavs. Started off pretty well. Luka came out looking hungry, but the Eddies were the first one to get points on the board.
Yeah, the you know, this game was a beautiful day at ATCO Field, and you know, last El Clasico match of the 2021 regular season, the Eddies found themselves coming off a big win against PFC.
Yeah.
You know, they were jiving.
Good for us.
Yeah, it was good for it. We were jiving.
Yeah.
It was good for everyone, right? So early on though, Cavs piled on the pressure, but they found themselves down.
Yeah.
And I remember watching this game at ATCO, and it was like a gut punch. You could almost hear the wind out of the, you know, out of the fans. Like it
just,
oh man. Yeah. Cause we had Luka came out like a bat out of hell, you know, he was firing. Everything was seemed to be going through him and he looked like he was hungry. And then Edmonton gets one counterattack in the 15th minute and Sagai bumbles the ball over the line, you know. I think it was Carducci made a, all he could do was pod the cross away, but it was pod right to one of two Edmonton offense, like pouring into the box after that goal. So it's, you know,
getting caught on that transition again. I mean, that has just been one of the things the Cavs have been getting burned on lately.
Absolutely. And yeah, and you know, finding yourself down 1-0 in a game like this, it's tough to take. And with teams, you know, that we're not going to face very often, but we are very likely, if we're going to the final, going to face a team like Forge.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't go down early because they'll, you know, they'll end the game.
And oh, yeah.
They'll take a 1-0 victory and
put up the walls, fall back on their heels, and just, you know, sit on that lead and try to counter again whenever they can.
Maybe a 2-0.
2-0 pretty quick. But Richard Luka, like you said, was looking hot, and he did get rewarded there in the 20th minute with that diving header. Beats the Eddie's keeper, kind of just low, but, you know, the smallest man on the field makes a big play on this one. And Luka, that's his first goal in the CPL.
Yeah, you know, Richard's found game time tough to come by in this past, you know, couple months here. And on this occasion, he showed he's hungry. When he gets the game time, he wants to be a game changer, and he wants to make his impact on the pitch. And he runs at defenders. That it's something, especially this last month when Joe Mason was out.
Yeah,
it's something that we really lacked. You know, Mo Farsi does it, but we can't just have one person always doing it. And Richard brings that, where when he gets the ball, defenders are already thinking about, should I be backpedaling?
Yeah, burn them, yeah.
And you like that. When you have a defender thinking, I always, you know, I've always said defenders don't like to think, right? And when you have them thinking, that's when they make their mistakes. They like to have a game where everything is natural and they know what to do with every ball that comes to them. Yeah. It's laid perfectly to the right person. When they're thinking, they're now thinking, I have a second, what's my third backup plan here if he does this? And that's what Richard brings. And he showed it this game. You know, it was funny, one of the most direct goals he'll ever score, a stooping header, right?
Yeah.
But he brought everything. Everything seemed to be running through him.
Yeah, he had a great game, but Cavs weren't able to get anything else behind the posts on this one, and it would end in a 1-1 draw. Now let's jump ahead a little bit. It's been, like we're saying, a busy, busy month for the Cavs. And on the 14th, York 9 United were in town. It was a cold night on that one. And we're going to have to be ready for a lot more cold nights coming up here. Man, I was like 3 layers deep, wrapped up in a thick blanket, and I was still shivering.
You're just going to blow past the fact that you still use York 9 and United, right? Like, are you just, if they ever change their name, you're not even going to eliminate. You're just going to keep adding on whatever they change their name to and make it a string.
Yeah. York 9 United
York 9 United Sporting City Club.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. Just keep adding on.
Perfect.
They didn't even put a space between York and 9 when they first did their original imaging. So it's just still one word. You can't just get rid of that yet.
All right. I just wanted to clarify that. No, but it is going to be cold out in these upcoming matches. We've had a couple lucky games that have been on, you know, Sundays, Saturdays, and they're good.
The 2 p.m. ones,
they're good at scheduling those, especially I've noticed in the later half of the season, they usually schedule, you know, the weekend games quite early in the day because it gets cold. And they know that. And when the sun is out, that's the best time to be playing. So
this one was a cold night at Spruce Meadows, and it got a lot colder when York, let's just call him York. Okay, fine, just York. Okay. York stunned the Spruce Meadows crowd early on in the fifth minute when they took an early lead. Yeo and Klomp both got beat in the early minutes, and it was not a good start for the Cavs. I came to the game thinking this was going to be another easy 3 points for the boys. York 9's in town, easy 3 points, but, you know, it certainly wasn't easy.
Yeah, I mean, yet again, they find themselves down 1-0 in the first 5 minutes. And, you know, like you said, this is a team, York United, York 9 United. This is a team that we have enjoyed quite a strong, dominant performance over all the seasons that we've faced them, you know. The very first season, I don't even think we did see them in the Island Games.
I can't remember, honestly. I'm like a goldfish.
If we did, it was one game, and I looked back at the finishes, and they've only been able to get 1 point out of all of their four meetings with us over all these seasons. So this is the fifth game, and we're thinking, what do you think we're thinking? Let's get the 3 points. We need the 3 points. You know, we want to be hosting the final in Calgary. We want, you know, to be hosting the first playoff game in Calgary. Yeah. And that was not the start they were looking for. Like you said, it's York's exposed a weakness that I think Cavalry kind of have lately. They're very vulnerable on that counterattack, and they burned us. So, you know, we gotta look to pull ourselves out of this game. And Richard Luka continued a very strong performance. You know, yet again, he's troubling defenders, running at them. They didn't really get anything going until,
It was the 23rd minute when we actually started into the 20 minutes, we started to see things kind of heat up here for the Cavs, and Jose Escalante took a corner in the 23rd minute for the Cavs. York mishandled it in the box, and it falls right to Sergio Camargo, who is able to get just enough on it with a little back heel to beat Nathan Ingham.
Yeah, kind of a grindy goal, but I mean, tantalizing ball to be dropped to any of those types of players, you know, and those Sergio Camargos, those Escalantes, those Ben Fisks, you better believe the Joe Masons, they're looking for those balls. They love it when a dirty ball
sailed right in there. So nice to see it fall to somebody. It doesn't matter how gritty or grimy or, you know, chippy that goal may be, as long as it's legal, put it in the net.
Crosses the net, and it did. Not by a ton, but it did. And it was clearly a goal. So Cavs have just started pulling themselves back, and they are showing that, you know, this game is important.
You know, and like just as the first half was coming to an end, tempers were really heating up. The Cavs ended up getting sucked into York's nonsense. That's what they got sucked right into. And, you know, just lacking discipline. Di Chiara, he was already on a yellow from earlier on in the game. He comes storming in and horse collars Matteo Ferrari, ripping him back from the scrum. Just so unnecessary.
Yeah, and, you know, it's all so unnecessary, right? And I mean, there's two players go in together. It's Escalante and Sa that collide, you know? Yeah. So it's a two-player thing. And even you pointed out when we were at the game, Ingham, man bun, comes running out of his net, you know, ranting and raving. Oh, there's got to be some sort of a call here, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Wilson, someone comes in and picks up the ball to get it away from Escalante, and they rub it across his face.
Yeah, it's just so ridiculous, and just, like, bumped his nose with it. And it's just like, what are you doing?
And it is so unnecessary, but then also Jose's reaction is unnecessary. He's rope in his face, like, you know, he's been bopped, but he's been brushed, really.
Yeah, just, like, getting into the fray, arguing with everyone, just getting right into what exactly York United is trying to get under his skin, because he's always the one getting under everyone else's skin, and they just found a way to suck us in, and now, you know.
Next thing you know, Kamara goes in there, and then next thing you know, of course, Di Chiara sees this, and he comes running in to talk to somebody.
Talk to the
ref, it almost looked like, but he doesn't care who he rips through to get, and he, like you said, horse collars, just grabs him. It was like one of those hooks, like, in, you know, you're watching Bugs Bunny or something, they're pulling somebody off the stage, you know, with that big sheep herder hook. It's like,
It looks like the guy was watching too much, like, WWC or WF or whatever the acronym is right now. But, yeah, just grabs him by the side of the neck and smashes him back. And it's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's just all so unnecessary. In this situation, it's York that's looking to punish us, you know, and Escalante, as much as we love his shenanigans and antics, like, he's just got to get up and get out of there. Camargo shouldn't be going in. And, yeah, and we paid for it. You know, we go down a man, and we go into the second half 1-1. So it's still anybody's game, and we're at a disadvantage now.
Yeah, and as the second half got underway, Marco still showed up, made himself big, came up with a few clutch saves there in the second half. You know, stopped York United with a well-placed boot, just stomped it down, deflected it away, and, you know, Marco again coming up with the big saves.
Yeah, I mean, where would this team be without Marco? Like, he Cavs... just, you know, they're a wonderful team, but without Marco, he's bailed us out so many times.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the backbone of a great team, is a great goaltender in hockey, in football, in all these, like, it's, you know, that's what wins championships and things like that. And he made a great kick save on the line to deny Michael Petrasso, who is, you know, he can score goals when he gets the chance, and arguably I'd say he made the best save of his season with the glove save on Abzi. One on one, Abzi's got everything to shoot for. I mean, he was coming from the side, so Marco did what great goaltenders do, cuts down the angle. But if you watch the replay, he has to move his arm up to make connection with Abzi's shot. He's going short side, and Marco puts out his right arm, flashes it up, and gets such a strong connection on it, it actually clears the ball out of the box, out of harm's way. I honestly thought that was possibly his best save all season.
Yeah, he's always so clutch, and especially when you're down to 10 men, you know you're going to get chances, and he came up big with us time and time again. You know, I was really concerned that when you're down to 10 men, I'm like, well, this is about done here. What are we going to do? We can, at best, hold them off to a tie, maybe. But I'm glad I didn't leave early on this one like a dummy.
I was just going to make that cheap shot.
Yeah. You know, he gets set up with another nice set piece there. And I think it was Ben Fisk this time sent it just sailing in, just floating in the air, and finds the head of
Dan the Man Klomp, the Dutch Tower, the Flying Dutchman.
Yeah, I love him.
Wow. I mean, and that's what he has just been so invaluable to this team. And, you know, he nods the header on, doesn't necessarily get the goal because it might have been going slightly wide. But, you know, there's Norman Jr. standing right there to get his foot on it. And unfortunately, it was Saw that claims the goal as an own goal. But Yeah, that's the thing that Dan brings. You know, he gets up and he gets in those spots in the box, and he really gives defenders headaches.
Yeah, and he uses his size to his advantage, and it's nice to see, you know, like you're saying, everyone else is in the box there, right, just lining up to get that one in with that well-placed ball. It's just like, yes, please.
Definitely. And, you know, with the final 10 minutes ticking down, getting that goal was, you know, exactly what the Cavalry needed. And now they can just make the right substitutions, park the bus, and try and grind out this gritty, you know, 10-man victory.
The Bow River Brigade podcast is part of the Northern Starting 11 Network. Online at northernstarting11.com.
Yeah, in busy month, one other game to touch on, the Wanderers on the 17th. Cavs came out, put a lot of pressure on, looking real good. You saw Tyson Farago with a rare start, giving Marco a little break. And, you know, Ben Fisk had a beautiful chance early on. And, you know, a bit of a frustrating match, I think, for the Cavs.
Yeah, it really was, you know. Ben Fisk in the 9th minute sees himself one-on-one with the keeper and makes a great play, chips the ball on goal, maybe didn't quite have enough oomph and enough, you know, power behind it. But Peter Schall has shown over, you know, the last few seasons that he is a defender that is not going to give up, and he's won his starting position with Halifax for good reason. So, you know, he slides in, clears the ball off the line, and Cavs are still looking for that that 1-0 lead that never comes.
No, it was pretty frustrating. You see some of the players linked up pretty well. I think it was Farsi and Camargo, and I think Joe Mason back in the lineup. They were looking sharp and, like, playing off each other really well, but we're not getting rewarded for their efforts.
Yeah, you know, 71st minute, they had one of the nicest team play build up to a goal, which could have been that I've ever seen. And maybe that's what kind of threw Camargo off, was the passes were just hitting so sweet up until that point. But yeah, they did a tic-tac-toe type thing, and Mason had a beautiful flick to Camargo, and he was in.
Oh, yeah. Should have taken that. Put it on net. That was Camargo's moment. Take the shot.
Yeah. And like I say, maybe, you know, maybe the passes were just flowing like wine. They were flowing too sweet, right? And he looked for that extra ball to Ben Fisk.
But what are you doing? This isn't Ted Lasso. You don't always have to look for that extra pass, the last final pass. And come on, man.
It's true. You'll get movie deals, but you won't get titles.
This is real life.
To be fair to him, I think, you know, everything's coming off so slick, and you just see that opening. And we did watch the replay. The defender kind of just threw him off of the ball at the last second there, so he was gathering it into his feet, and I think he didn't quite think he was gonna get a really good, powerful shot off to beat the keeper. So he thought, oh, Ben's open, and within a flash, Ben wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, as I said, I think that's the reason, because even the pass didn't really have that power behind it. He was still kind of trying to fish it out of his feet, and unfortunately, Cavs still find themselves 0-0, and I mean, Joe Mason had some chances as well. It was the same types of plays. They were working those wide passing plays, and
tic-tac-toe coming in,
blocked
breaking in.
Shot or just wide. And we watched, and there was a blocked shot that chipped up over the keeper towards the end of the game, and it was, you know, scrambling for that back post, and they go into a corner kick.
Yeah, finally, in that extra time, a corner could finally look to put this one away. And, you know, we've had some nice corners lately, but this one was not our best.
No, it really wasn't, but we were given a gift. The Halifax defender goes to dive and clear the ball, and I think he kind of misjudges it, and it slips past his head and hits him in the hand.
Yeah.
And there wasn't, I actually was kind of confused at what happened when we were at the match, because I just didn't really see it like that. And
he didn't even really need to dive and like head it like that. He could just like let it come to him, and he would have had enough time to probably deal with it. He wasn't under that much pressure. But, you know, yeah, finally we're gifted a nice penalty kick after he has that handball in the box. And, you know, we finally think the curse is broken.
Yeah, and I mean, the referee didn't hesitate on that call either. And so we're sitting here thinking, wow, this is it.
Yeah.
This is the chance. And who other than Joe Mason lines up? We said maybe the last penalty kick we had, we said, is Sergio, should he be the guy? I would have given it to Joe Mason.
Exactly. 93rd minute to put the game away. A gift. Break the curse the Cavs have, but nope, gets a big stop. Ugh.
No, and I mean, it is his first game back, too, so I do understand, you know, it's tough. He went through an injury that I don't think initially seemed like it was going to be that bad or take that long, because I actually saw him the game that he was injured, and he said, yeah, I should be back next week, or I should be back in the game after next week. I'll miss a game, kind of thing. And it definitely didn't go that way. So, you know, maybe he's a little rusty stepping up, but it wasn't a bad kick.
No, it was well taken. It was a great save.
Yeah, and Kieran Basket, hat off to him. He makes a phenomenal save, and preserves the point for Halifax, who, as you said, is a team that is looking for points. And, you know, you can steal a title in this league by finishing fourth place.
Oh, yeah.
Even if there's a 20-point gap or however much gap between the third and the fourth place. Maybe fourth place is all of the rest.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah.
One of that all of the rest teams is going to make it in, and then they just got to string together the wins that they need, and you've got a title on your hands. So that's a team that doesn't want to give up points, and they showed it.
Speaking of all the rest, we'll dive into our predictions for the last stretch of games after this quick word from our sponsor.
I love to bake, but I either don't have the time or I'm missing a crucial ingredient. That all changed when I discovered Lazy Bake. Baking kits delivered right to your door. I just need a couple basic ingredients and I'm baking like a pro. All you need is water for delicious campfire cookies or a can of beer for the Dilipino beer bread. Lazy Bake makes baking a breeze for even the most inexperienced baker. Visit lazybake.com and enter promo code BRBFOOTY for 25% off your first order. Lazybake.com, promo code BRBFOOTY. Lazy Bake, baking made easy.
All right, now let's look ahead. Only a few games left in the season. Three games, in fact. Doogie, let's kick this off with some predictions. What do you got?
Well, we have Valor FC against Cavalry FC October 30th at ATCO Field. So that's going to be another home game against Valor. Bit of a struggling side. I think we're going to come away with a 2-0 win on that one.
You know, that was honestly what I have here, my original like thought on it. But, you know, we have clinched playoffs now. Let's give some of the other players, let's rotate our squad, keep everyone healthy. I think we're going to come away with a 1-1 draw on this one.
Okay. And then next we have Pacific FC against Cavalry at ATCO Field on November 7th.
Oh, yeah.
So with that game, I think and I'm hoping we can continue our big dominance against them that we had the last game.
Yep.
And I'm hoping we can get a 3-1 win. It's going to be a gritty win, very gritty, but I'm hoping, you know, we kind of get that 2-1 type thing established early and then maybe catch them on a counter or get them frustrated and they foul us for, you know, a free kick.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking along the same lines as well. I think we'll put out our, like, best squad against PFC, with our biggest rivals fighting for that top spot. We want that home field advantage. So, you know, bring back in the starting healthy rotation. I'm seeing a 3-2 victory for the Cavs. And then we have one last game, finishing it off away from home on this one. It's Forge, November 16th.
Yes, sir. November 16th at Tim Hortons Field. This I am looking at as one of the biggest games of the season and one of the toughest games of the season. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw.
Oh, we came so close in our predictions yet again. Got right there. If you is just one, so one. Close. I was thinking 1-1 on this one too, but I'm going to take it. Cavalry are going to get that sneaky goal, maybe in the last, you know, last third of the game, to come away with a 1-0 victory. Nice. 1-0 victory for the Cavs against Forge for the last game of the year, and hopefully that propels the Cavs to the top of the standings.
Yeah, and I mean, Forge has a busy schedule coming up. They're still in the CONCACAF right. Champions League. They've had a tough go this last first leg. I think they went down 3-1. So they might not be in the Champions League much longer. They still might, though, and that's the thing. Do they commit? Do they, you know, put the full starters out? And if so, then they also have to worry about the Canadian championship match as well. And, you know, they still have games at hand to play. So they still have 5 league matches in 20 days.
Oh, wow. They could really jump in the standings easily. And let's hope, like, they are fatigued with that busy run of games between so many championships. You know, okay, yeah, you guys have won the CPL title twice. Maybe you want to put your full army out, your healthiest squad for some of these other, and make a mark. Go ahead, make a mark in CONCACAF for Canada. It's fine. I can live with that.
Yeah, and exactly. They're going to have to divvy their eggs up into these baskets, and where are you going to put them? And that's the thing. They're right in there. They're right in there in the league. But they still have to put in the work. That's 5 games. They have games at hand, but those are games you have to win. Or those are games you have to, or otherwise they're not games at hand anymore.
Let's hope Forge pick up some injuries. All right, let's, looking ahead here though, like we were saying earlier, it's going to be cold. And let's talk about something that I'm getting heated for, I'm getting excited for. I may have to bundle up in 17 layers of clothing, but Canada is playing their first game in Alberta since
2013
up in Edmonton, November 12th. Canada is taking on, who's the first game against?
Costa Rica, Friday, November 12th, 2021. Yeah. And then it will be Mexico on Tuesday, November 16th.
Oh, man, World Cup qualifiers back home in Alberta. Alfonso Davies playing in front of his hometown crowd.
It's going to be crazy.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I have I've been up there for the Women's World Cup, and Edmonton brings a crowd.
Yeah.
Edmonton knows how to party with football, and
we're going
to
be there. We're going to be partying with the football, and we're going to kill it. I am excited. Oh, man, got that home field advantage, and even though it's going to be cold, it's obviously going to play well for Canada.
Freeze out. The Costa Ricans and the Mexicans won't be liking the cold. Exactly. That's for sure.
Canada's been playing, like, pretty well. We've come, like, we should have probably got some points off of Jamaica. I think that was a bit disappointing. We didn't have some of our full lineup available for that one. But Canada has been doing very well in this qualifiers tournament.
They really have. And, I mean, they had a tough stretch of games, a really testing stretch of games in October here. You know, a game against Mexico away.
Another one of those games that we had to stop it down because of hateful speech from the Mexican fans. And, I mean, it's so frustrating. Like, they do this again and again. They get reprimanded. They get a slap on the wrist. And, okay, you know, fans in the stands for, what, 2 games? But then they pull it back. And they're like, okay, 1 game. And that's why I think we had fans in the stands for this game. And, again, it's just all the hateful, you know, homophobic speech and chants.
Yeah, and it only benefits them.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a match where I think at that point we'd drawn it level 1-1, I believe, at that point, and we'd shown that we're not going away.
No.
We were really, really pressing, and it's, you know, they come out with this to stop the game, to disrupt the game, to, you know, and it's sad.
There's a place in football for anyone. I don't care what you believe, how you dress, what you do in your free time. There's no place in football, though, for this kind of speech and hatred. And the thing is, they're not really getting reprimanded in any meaningful way. John Herdman had said, like, well, what is this? Like a slap on the wrist? And like, if you want to do something, take away points.
Yeah. And, you know, that idea has floated around. It's exactly, yes, take away points, make, you know, or just forfeit matches, like, you know, it's okay, well, you were tied 1-1, well, we're giving Canada a 1-0 victory, or I think they might even, if it's a forfeit, I think you get a 3-0 automatic. I think that might even still be like rules by the book. You get a 3-0 victory, so it's, you know, that goes in, then you get point difference or goal differential, that kind of thing. They're not getting points because it's exactly it. It's disrupting the game, and there's, it's not necessary, and it's pretty vile.
Yeah, exactly. That is the right word for it. It's vile. And let's hope that, you know, Canada stays classy when we host Mexico. Let's show them what, how you're supposed to act in a game. Let's show them how you cheer for your boys. That's what you do. I mean, you're not coming here to try to disrupt or be poor sports about the thing. You just cheer for your boys and you, yeah, put everything into it.
Yeah, and I have faith. You know, I think Canada supporters, I think, are going to come out in droves.
Yep.
And I think there are going to be some very, very positive vibes being passed around, and it's going to be such a wonderful time. So if you guys have snowsuits, if you guys have warm clothing, get a ticket. They just went on sale last week. There's going to be tons of tickets still available.
Yeah.
Find a ticket. Come on up to Commonwealth Stadium in Edmonton. You know, there's it's going to be great. And exactly that, like, let's come out with a real positive, you know, positive attitude. And yeah, let's do this.
I just have to take one moment here to mention the fantastic goal that Alphonso Davies had in their last game. He came down that pitch. I think he reached a top speed of like 37 kilometers an hour. Dude was speeding through a playground zone.
I think he was within like 4 or 5 kilometers an hour of Usain Bolt, I believe, if I saw the comparisons correctly there. And
just does not give up on that ball. Meanwhile, Panama, their player gave up on the ball, put his hands up. Alphonso picked his pocket, turned it around, and just, oh, the footwork that he displayed that game was just phenomenal.
Well, and it wasn't even that one Panamanian player that gave up. It's Alphonso Davies was, what, 30 yards away and being marked by another Panamanian who actually, when Alphonso took off, he just basically stopped right there.
He just pulled out a book and it was just like, chapter 5.
Essentially, chapter 5 on getting burned for dummies, really. And Alphonso didn't stop running, and then the next defenders, you know, ushering the ball out of bounds, which I may add, the worst ushering I've ever seen. Like, he hopped over the ball before it was out. Wouldn't you, if he was waiting for it to go out of bounds, wouldn't you,
protect,
you know,
the ball?
Yeah, get your body in the way. Yeah. And Alphonso didn't even have to break stride. He just dangles a foot in there. And
did a couple crossovers, snagged the ball from between his legs, right on the line before it could completely cross. Sprints down. He has Tejon Buchanan, who's like already on a goal of the day, wide open, but he doesn't even need it. He's just takes one stride out, does a twist like Mo Salah, just turns that and puts it on goal.
Shimmy, shimmy. I tell ya, old dirty. Shimmy, shimmy.
Oh, yeah.
Shimmy, shimmy. Yeah. Shimmy left, shimmy in. And man, he smashed it.
Just
it was
beautiful.
Great. I mean, that might be the nicest Canadian soccer goal in history.
Yeah.
It's it's up there. There's, you know,
he had shades of Messi that game when he was just dancing through people.
Yeah, I mean, there's Ian Hume goal is definitely up there.
It's a short list. It's a very short list.
Oh, it is. And there's important ones, but as far as nice goes, that was beautiful. And I would argue important game-winning goal.
Yep.
And I think that just kicked everything off for Canada. They got an emphatic 4-1 victory. Yeah. But, you know, I think that really just kicked everything off. And Alfonso was all over the pitch that match. Oh, she's
every girl face I see. That about does it for another episode of the Bow River Brigade podcast. Music is from local Calgarian musician Mitch Bellot. Visit him online and find out when his shows are at mitchbellot.com. That's MitchBellot.com.
And drop us a line on any social media platform. That's BRBFooty at BRBFooty.
So yeah, send all your hate mail to brbfooty@gmail.com. We'd love for you to get into the conversation. Let us know what we're doing wrong, what we're doing right, what your predictions are, and get on us at an Instagram. Tag us in your posts. And until next time, march on.
BRB.